The 1-900 Wrestling Program is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900wrestling. If you want to get the show as fast as possible, as well as getting the answers and downloadable links to all of our Melodica challenges, you can head on over to 1900wrestling. But folks, that's just the little appetizer. The real main course is you get access to our subscriber-only Discord. That means that you have the ability to interact with the best fans on the planet during all live events. If it's happening in wrestling, you're going to know about it there, including shots like this. This is one that went up exclusively in our Discord. Yes, for those of you watching on video, that is indeed Cody Rhodes giving the Diamond Club symbol with Jeremy Lundy, one of our superstars of the Discord. That's what you're getting. If you get on up in the Discord, go ahead and do it now. Patreon.com/1900wrestling. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
And ladies and gentlemen, that brings us back into yet another episode of 1-900 Wrestling. I am Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, is the man, the myth, the legend, from Austin, Texas, Willie Dills Gregory. Welcome to the show, Willie.
You know, Justin, I'd like to be billed as from San Francisco by way of Austin,
by Texas. Way of Austin, Texas. Yes. There we go. From San Francisco by way of Austin, Texas.
I like when the announcers make sure they let you know that the wrestler has asked to be introduced as this.
Oh, it's, yeah. Like,
you'd think at some point AJ Styles would go up to them and be like, can you stop saying would like to be called? Champ that runs the camp.
It is kind of side eye, right? Like it is like I don't believe this. I was told to do it.
I was told to say this. Like you're actually throwing shade on me. Like right now at the beginning of my entrance, could you just not?
Can you please?
I think now Kevin Owens is would like to be known as the face of America. Like it's
Well,
in kayfabe though, they have no control over that. This is just the deal. The other wrestlers aren't asking for it. They're just being.
They don't know that. Yeah. You don't think, they don't say the man who would like to be known as the Phenom. Like,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
He's just the Phenom, the Undertaker.
He just is the Phenom. Exactly.
So much to talk about.
This is one of those weeks
where the news is kind of a mile wide and an inch deep. Like, there's not, like, a ton to talk about beyond talking about it. But we've got a ton of stuff. Some of it is silly and evergreen. Some of it is news. So I'm going to go ahead and just say these things to you, Dills, and you pick what you want to talk about first. We can talk about my trip to the Cow Palace on Saturday.
Oh, dude, I want to hear about this, actually. This I want to open with.
You want to go first with this?
Yeah, so A little tiny bit of backstory. So the first time ever in the history of, a 7-year relationship, my girlfriend expressed interest in seeing a wrestling show, and it was this show that you went to. Now, she ended up not being able to make it. I think she ended up having, a friend call her, and they had made plans or something. So it didn't work out. But she, I didn't ask her. I didn't prompt this.
This was
just got a text randomly. Hey, I think I want to go to that wrestling show on Saturday. Do you think that would be fun to go to by myself? And I was like, no, just hit up Jury. He's going.
I'm going.
But I guess she didn't end up making it happen. But it was still this is a step. This is a tiny little step here. Normally, she hates it when I watch the wrestling while she's here. So, yeah.
I got excited text messages from you just at the idea that this could happen.
The simple thought that this, it doesn't matter if it actually happened or not. There was an attempt.
There was interest, and that's
there was
all
interest.
We can build on this. We can build on this.
yeah. This is the seeds being planted for a face turn. My girlfriend's final face turn. She will stop being a heel finally in my life.
Finally, especially when it comes to your wrestling watching.
Yes.
So here's the deal. This is it was an all-pro wrestling show, which is one of the biggest promotions, indie promotions up here in Northern California. They usually run, I think, for a couple hundred, maybe in the thousands or something here and again up here. Although, to be fair, I had never been to an APW show before. This was a super card. A lot of bold-faced names. Of course, headlined in the steel cage. It was Cody Rhodes versus the King of Sleaze himself, Joey Ryan.
King of Dong style.
The King of Dong style.
Right.
He did hit the U-porn plex on Cody during the match.
I bet Cody sold it like a million bucks too.
Cody,
right?
Oh Jesus, yeah, he full flip. I don't know how he recovered. He wound up getting over the cage and winning. But really, I think what was rad about this was exactly kind of how regional it felt. You know, I guess it had been 40 years since a regional promotion had run the Cow Palace. It was something like absolutely ridiculous, and they really pulled out all the stops for it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're in a stadium that is, I mean, I think charitably a quarter full, right? Like that it was kind of like, you know, maybe a third. And yet, it felt so alive. Like, it was, you know, and they had some mic problems. But other than that, crowd was super into it. Everybody was hanging on every, you know, announcement. They kicked it off. Here's a bold move. You know, they started the show, super smart, with a 30-man battle royale.
Whoa. Now, did a lot of these people come back and wrestle again later? Or were
no.
they, like... How many actual wrestlers were there? That's crazy.
It was a lot of wrestlers. A few Hood Slam favorites.
Some local favorites, I'm guessing.
Some local favorites.
That out,
the opening,
right?
opening the entire show was one of my favorites from Hood Slam. I don't know if he wrestles in APW regularly, but the Berkeley Brawler.
Nice.
Who is a smug, unbearable hipster who comes to the ring on a Razor scooter to the Arcade Fire.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
So now, I guess my question is: so you said it wasn't completely full. It's a big place, though. I mean,
it's huge.
To be fair,
no,
like,
again,
it's a
this
huge
was,
place.
If the San Jose Arena was never built and an Oracle was never built out in Oakland, this would be where WWE would run when they come to the Bay Area, just because it's so big.
It's mad. Like, this is where they'll do like rodeos and like monster truck rallies and all that. And it's huge.
It is a legit middle. Yeah.
And still have a lot of, and then wrestling, the thing about wrestling that a lot of people who maybe have never gone, and that became more apparent to me after seeing a show like Royal Rumble, is, you know, the ring is small, man. And you're really far away, even when you're in what would seem like decent seats for like a basketball game, right?
Yeah.
That's, you know, a big court and whatever. The ring is pretty small. And so it feels like the whole place gets bigger too with a wrestling event. So, like, was everybody packed, like, straight all down right around the ring, or did you have people, like, kind of peppered around through the upper deck and
no,
stuff like that?
No, they effectively closed off all the, like, the real risery seats. So it was,
that's smart. Make it feel like everyone's just...
Everybody,
you know,
was either
place,
on
maybe.
The floor or on, like, just the first little incline to do it. Which, by the way... you know, probably wouldn't have been the worst way to go about it, just because of the way that, again, when everybody's on the floor, it can be a little hard to see because, you know, if somebody's taller than you, then they're right in front of your face. There was a couple in front of us, or rather, I don't know if it was a couple. It was either a father and son or a boyfriend and girlfriend. And I couldn't tell from just the back of their heads.
Well, I mean, look, it's the Bay Area.
I guess we can just kind of leave that there. But you know, I have no idea what happened, except to say that, you know, there might have been some Titus O'Neil style kisses on the mouth, which you know, for me, I mean, who knows? I saw Titus do it, so it could be a father and son.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's like, look, it's, people have, they express their love in different ways, you know?
Great show, highly recommended. Wish I would have bought more merch. And hopefully, seeing the light of day, some friends of the show are making a documentary about Joey Ryan, and they got apparently some fantastic footage of not only the match itself, but also of their preparation. Yeah. Cody and Joey apparently were very honored to kind of be the top match in the return of indie wrestling to the Cow Palace. So,
well, I saw a lot of tweets from Joey Ryan about that, that it was a pretty big deal to him to be, you know, because if you think about WWE used to run all of their Bay Area events there.
I mean, WCW, listen, that building saw Hogan versus Sting. It saw Hogan versus Piper, like in the big matches, in the blow-off matches.
The only time I went to wrestling in the Bay Area was as a kid, Cow Palace. Hogan was there.
Boom.
Big Boss Man, Hogan, Piper.
There was a little controversy. Okay. Pat Patterson, the man, the myth, the legend, who, like, I almost wonder whether or not they did this as kind of a wink and a nod to the super nerds in the crowd. They brought out Pat Patterson just to let everybody know that he was there.
You sure? Right?
Yeah. Didn't say anything. He did, like, a bit a little later. But then immediately afterward, they started the Battle Royale. And since Pat Patterson is the famous guy who came up with the idea for the Royal Rumble, has booked some of the most memorable Royal Rumbles, like, I wonder if that was like a little wink to the nerds to be like, oh no, this is gonna be awesome, like, we asked Pat Patterson about this and he told us it was great.
People in the chat are actually asking an interesting question too, which is, was Cody the face?
Cody was the face, Joey was the heel, the villainous Candice LeRae, who competed in a fantastic match with Rachel Ellering and local Hood Slam favorite Shotzi Blackheart earlier in the night. She came back to interfere in the match only to be neutralized by Brandi Rhodes.
Wow.
In the climax there. But so here's the deal. Pat Patterson comes out and he's Pat Patterson and he's telling everybody how much he loves them. And, you know, he used to wrestle this in the 60s. Yada, yada, yada.
So he actually, like, cut a promo? Like,
cut a promo.
Like, mic and everything? Okay.
Thanks the crowd. Everybody loves him. Then they got another guy who came out. I guess he's a local heel, right, for APW. Starts pooping on him. The crowd's pooping on the heel. Everything's going according to Hoyle. But, then Pat Patterson decides to shut him up by grabbing his ding-a-ling.
Mm.
And for whatever reason,
that's a signature move, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that. I mean, it's so hard to discuss this story without just kind of Pat Patterson's gay, right? And he's famously gay, and everybody knows that he's gay. And so Pat Patterson in San Francisco, grabbing somebody's dick in the center of the ring is something that, for whatever reason, wound up making it into, you know, I saw on my Twitter account, you know, that here we go. This is Pro Wrestling Sheet. Big shout out to Ryan Satin, who runs this. Let's go ahead and put this up here on the screen. You know, Pat Patterson makes appearance at Cow Palace event, and then things went south, and this is him grabbing the dude.
And did the
joke.
Crowd pop for this?
Crowd popped.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I would guess.
I mean, listen, it was what it was. So that I don't know. Like, it was one of those things where, like, we got out of the show, and I was looking at my Twitter feed, and I'm like, oh, I guess this is like a thing. It didn't really feel like a thing in the arena, but you know, I guess all the squares outside of San Francisco just, you know, fainting violets when a man grabs another man's penis aggressively.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, he was just giving a nod to Joey Ryan, who's coming out later to have the same the same spot happen. He was just going to show you, like, look, I'm the one who started this. I'm
exactly
the
true this
King
is
of
me
Kong style.
All right, let's go back into our bin of topics. Do you want to talk about the name of the new pay per view, Jim Ross's return to WWE? The big match in New Japan.
Let's talk about Jim Ross a little bit. This is kind of nice, right? I mean, this is I think this is a great way to kind of get him to be a fairly big part without maybe putting the stress of like having to start traveling the road consistently with the team in like a, you know, a time very clearly where maybe he should be kind of chilling out a little bit. You know, it's nice to have him back in the fold, obviously.
Yeah.
But you don't want to push things too hard right after like a huge event in your life.
So the news is this: Jim Ross will be the voice of the new weekly United Kingdom show that they are doing. It looks as if what's going to happen is they will shoot episodes, like they shot episodes now because they're there. WWE is touring Europe and England specifically, so they shot some stuff, and now I guess much in the same way that Jim Ross has done voiceovers, you know, before, like Mauro Ranallo's done them for New Japan. That's what they're going to do. They're going to get him and Nigel McGuinness in a booth, and they'll record.
It'll be like old school SmackDown, right? Where everything happens after the fact. It was kind of funny if you watch SmackDown before they were doing it live, and you would see they were sitting at the announce table, and sometimes they were just sitting stone-faced, and there was commentary happening.
And they were like, talking.
I could see them. They're not talking right now. But, yeah, so I guess the question I'll have is, are they even going to present them as trying to be there, or are they just going to have them, like, 100%? Like, I'm guessing they're not even going to show them, like, there, right?
No. Yeah. I don't think they're going to green screen, you know, the action behind
SmackDown was kind of like a kayfabe thing, where they were like, oh, yeah, no, the announcers are here, they're doing it live, like...
Well, they have to do stuff like that. Stuff like, you know, they'll always, like, the episode right after, like an NXT... takeover, right, is always the matches they shot before before the actual live takeover, and so they'll always do the like, well, we're still here in Milwaukee, but no, I think this is great. I think it's Jim Ross also says in that same blog post that there's more that WWE has him booked for, so business is about to pick up and announcements are forthcoming. Big ups to Jim Ross. All right. Omega Okada is set. NXT is good again. Matt Hardy is naming executive names on Twitter, or the Kings of Leon lead singer gets roasted.
Oh, what God, Kings of Leon, dude. Okay. All right, let's go for it. This to me was kind of funny. I don't know. So I'm actually a Kings of Leon fan. I really like that band. Ever since Aha Shake Heartbreak, which I think was a really great album, I actually quite enjoy them.
How would you describe their sound?
Well, so they started out as kind of a Southern rock style band. So it kind of got popular at the same time as some other stuff was getting popular. That had very much that Southern rock sound. So, and it was getting big, funnily enough, in the UK before it got big in the States, right? So they were like huge in the UK for a while, and they're kind of like a little known secret to a lot of people in the States. And then they had, I guess it was Sex on Fire was
that was the big that was their
the
big
thing that kind of blew them up, but. Like something you could say like Alabama Shakes or something like that's like kind of how they started out, right? As being this like
like a roots Southern you know kind of in the grand tradition of you know CCR or something like that. Like,
sure. You know, then they've kind of now morphed a little bit into more of an experimental like arena rock sounding thing a little. It's still their own like style, but they've definitely progressed, which I actually like. A lot of people hate when their bands change, right?
Sure.
I really like it. Like when Metallica put out Load or whatever,
oh,
and was like, what is this?
Now we are getting into like the defining musical arguments of my childhood. Sure. Whether or not
like, I want
they
Metallica,
cut their hair
Black
and
Elvis.
now they're alternative.
But like to me, I always think like you know you already made that album. Like don't make that album again, right?
Yeah,
make,
why?
Like, something different. So to me, like it's great. Like and I actually it. They're one of their albums. I can't remember which one it is now, but I remember like I got it and I was like, oh no, this is weird. And then after like a couple listens through, I was like hooked to that album. I was like listening to it constantly. So I always really liked them. They're young and they're all kind of weird. They have a weird story that they were all like raised by a really Christian family.
Yeah.
In the South. And they're all like brothers and cousins. And they were playing like the church band. And then they bailed from the church band because their dad got excommunicated from the church or something for something terrible. Something like weird happened. They all bailed from the church thing and just started like smoking a bunch of cigarettes, drinking, and playing rock and roll.
And just becoming, becoming rock stars. Well, how about this for a lead
single? So
what's
his tweet?
Hey, adults, this is Jared Falwell.
Yes, he's the bass player, by the way.
Hey, adults. Let's maybe not watch professional wrestling, you know?
Mm. Now, this isn't that, this isn't like that volatile, right? It's just kind of one of those tweets. Like, he probably thought, like, he was, you know, he was like just chilling out. And he was thinking, he saw something about wrestling and he was like, man, that looks kind of lame. Like a lot of people do who don't understand wrestling. And then just made like a passing tweet that they didn't think about very much. That's what this seems like to me.
So,
but then what happened is the response is hilarious in that, like, every professional wrestler.
Can we? I was having a conversation with somebody this weekend and talking about the nature of professional wrestling and professional wrestlers specifically. Mm. And I have very limited experience with meeting or being friends or friendly with people who are in the business, right?
Sure.
Been happy enough to meet a few people. They seem like rad folks. I really dig them. But in general, it has been helpful guiding me to understand that professional wrestlers have all the aggression of a professional athlete with all the insecurities of a professional actor.
Well, it feels like it kind of feels like in a sense it's similar to like the defensive nature of like nerds or theater kids.
Yes.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's the people who've been a little bit picked on for the thing that they like.
Absolutely.
And when it happens, and now they're not necessarily in a position to get picked on anymore, they're like at the ready, like reporting for duty, defending wrestling, sir. You know, like they all got on.
So I'm literally just going to just start scrolling through his replies.
Sure.
And this isn't even the famous people. These are just random people just lighting into him, wrestling gifts of Stone Cold, you know, just being angry, shame from the New Day.
But then also, you know, like crapping on him back, which is always to me like the. Like I get it, and there's times when like you burn somebody because they burned you. You're in a, you know, you're in a cat battle, and like your mama this, your mama that. But like it's always like, you know, it always comes across to me like what you are, you know, and it's like because like the first top one is like your crappy music, you this.
There's
that,
a lot of kings of 2008, right?
Sure,
like, you know,
sure.
a lot of pooping on it. The pros got involved. Dash Wilder, if somebody can give me the links here in the chat to other the famous folks who came back at it.
I've actually got a few. Yeah, I got a few. So you got Big E, don't play with my money. Dash Wilder, I miss when you guys are making good music or on hiatus. You know. So he's doing that move again. The Young Bucks just sent a picture of one of their faces in the crotch of another wrestler, which I thought was pretty good. And then Jared Falwell finally followed up after a while with a gif of Job from Arrested Development saying, "I've made a huge mistake."
So here is how things went, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've gathered a lot of people love wrestling. Folks are angry, really angry. I wasn't being literal. Continue to enjoy. I think he probably didn't do himself much help when he then tweeted this after that, a gif from Happy Gilmore where Shooter McGavern is saying, "Damn you people, go back to your shanties."
I think, though, like the thing about it is he started memeing along and everyone was sending it. Like, it's... in the end, it's kind of all in good fun, and I hope that people actually kind of take it that way. I prefer to take the stance of when, because I actually recently had this situation come up like again, which it just kind of does at this point, where somebody was like putting on like a boxing match, you know, and we were watching it, and I was like, man, I prefer to just watch wrestlers because, man, this guy's actually hurt. You know, yeah. I was watching like the guy, and he was like, they had him all gelled up or whatever with the Vaseline, and his face is beaten to hell. I'm like, I just don't find this entertaining. I just find this like sad. And, you know, I was like, I like wrestling. And the guy was like, what? Wrestling?
What?
That's stupid. You want to watch boxing or UFC? It's real. And I was like, okay, here we go. And I take it as like a challenge to explain what I like about it and why it's fine to like it. And not as like an insult, right? To like me personally, which I think is what I think a lot of people do. They kind of immediately turn it into like this thing where they gotta like hit you back rather than just have like a conversation about what they find good about it.
Yeah, there is just so much of the like, we are damaged, you know, little goth kids. And so literally whenever anybody does anything to this community, everybody freaks out. And it's like, no, it's real. It's a great entertainment. You're not my dad. Stop hitting me.
Yeah. It's like, I think we can all just take a step back and just have fun with this type of stuff too. And some of the people were clearly having fun with it. So for you guys, good ups. That's what we should be doing.
Yeah.
For the people who like were taking it way too far, way too seriously.
It's fine.
Down.
It's fine. And he and the guy down. The guy had a sense of humor about it. I do. You know, I don't know. It reminded me a lot of the Conor McGregor thing. Except at least like for Conor McGregor was trying to sell a fight, and so he was picking fights with people so people would be talking about him, so they would have an interest in watching him fight somebody. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about the Kings of Leon guy. He just seems... And also, like...
Yeah, I think it was a passing tweet, and then he was like, holy crap, like, I riled up a friggin' hornet's nest here of, like, people who are mad at me now.
Also, who's on the radar? Who's manning the radar to make sure that every member of every band, you know, is not talking negatively about wrestling, right? Like,
yeah, I know, yeah.
So weird. That blew up so fast. I'll tell you what, let's go.
That's Twitter, though, because, you know, he is a famous person. He's got a lot of followers, so I'm sure just some wrestling fan, there's a little crossover, some wrestling fan who also likes Kings of Leon, and then was like, oh, God, what? And then retweets, and then, you know, other wrestling fans see it, and yeah. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and stay on the Twitter beat. This is the continuing and evolving saga of broken Matt Hardy and whether or not he will indeed be allowed to re-break. Alex Brennan, random Twitter person, at replied, Impact Wrestling. You know who loses out on the war over hashtag broken? Not Matt Hardy or Jeff Hardy, just you and the fans who resent you for it. This was a sentiment that Matt Hardy could very much get behind, as he quoted it and said on top, shows they do not care about the fans. At Ed Nordholm wants to keep my creation, the Broken Universe, hostage from fans who wish to see it. From my vantage point, this is the first time that he has called out somebody by name within Impact, and not just kind of referred to them obliquely as the obsolete owl. A quick look on LinkedIn reveals that Ed Nordholm is indeed the general counsel for Anthem Media Group and now the president of Impact Wrestling.
That's an interesting jump there from general counsel to president. Like, okay, he's our lawyer.
Yeah.
Now he's our president.
Like, yes.
What? There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of the shakeups that continue to happen at Impact, by the way. But that just seems bizarre to me. Yeah, you're right, though. This is the first time he's calling anybody out by name, specifically pointing at somebody. The thing that worries me about this is the pitchforky nature of the internet.
Oh yeah. So, now this guy is gonna have his own. He should go to a Kings of Leon show. Like,
sure,
at this point,
yeah, they can hang out, right?
Yeah.
Like, he should actually, that should be, now he's the president, his theme music should be a Kings of Leon song as he comes out every time to cut his heel promo at the beginning of the show. But it's I don't like, I'm not a big fan of this, but this kind of feels like how they're like, this is the gimmick right now, is just him being on Twitter. So I don't know. I'm just enjoying like all the manicness of his tweets right now, but they're doing the full motion. He's got Jeff doing it too. I've seen some gifs of them like on this tour that they're doing in Europe, and it seems like whether or not this guy wants to stand in the way, it's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, I think the to read the tea leaves of what people are into here, you know, I don't know whether or not this is a negotiation with Impact, whether or not it's just the WWE deciding, hey, file a C&D. We'll see where this goes. And also, like, I don't know what WWE really wants to do with the whole broken gimmick.
Yeah, no, it's true. Although I will say this, though, it actually isn't the first time. It's not new for his gimmick, the broken gimmick, to use other people. I mean, Meek Mahan was, you know, a huge character.
He was
for the broken gimmick. So maybe now, you know, this is his new character he's going to be attacking.
People in the chat are bringing this up. I had not heard of this yet, but apparently the New York Times of the wrestling industry, Dave Meltzer, said that the Aiden English Drama King character is a stab at Mauro Ranallo. There was a bit of an update on that this weekend where apparently the agent of Mauro Ranallo kind of made it seem a lot more like Mauro didn't really like the micromanaging of WWE more so than any kind of bullying thing. He seemed to downplay the kind of idea that he was bullied out of the company.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, what's his butt was doing the Drama King character before the Vaudevillains in NXT. Like, it seems like he's just doing the same bit now on SmackDown, Aiden English is, that he was doing on NXT.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I thought the whole point of the character was just that he was an actor and he wanted to sing a lot. Like,
yeah.
What? Like, what does this have to do with Mauro Ranallo?
I don't know. I'm sure the Meltzer clip goes into it more so, and everybody can enjoy that.
Yeah, but, you know, that guy's got to fill, like, 5 days a week of content, right? So
yeah.
He's got to look deep. He's got to read between the lines and find out what's going on sometimes. So
that's true,
sometimes,
man.
Sometimes when he says something, I'm like, maybe he just needs to say something.
And
today.
By the way, those aren't like 5 minute clips or nothing. Like, those are like, they do like 2 hours a night, whether or not there's anything to talk about.
No, they go deep. I mean, this is like, I always used to get amazed when I worked in radio that, you know, like you think that it's so crazy that like Rush Limbaugh said something that sounds insane. And you're like, the guy's talking for 5 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
He's just running out of stuff to say. So at some point, he just kind of, you know, if I talk for 5 hours a day, and I kind of do 5 days a week, I'm going to end up saying some stupid stuff.
Oh,
and my
absolutely.
Chat actually keeps track of it. And if you type in exclamation mark quote in my chat, you will find some weird stuff in
some
there.
Some weird shit. People are saying that him freaking out and crying when he loses is the new wrinkle.
Okay. So they've added this new tick to his character, which is, yeah, okay, maybe.
I mean, but even
that's
then.
That's kind of a reach, though. Like, is anybody crying from here on out? It's like a reference to Mauro Ranallo.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, though, Matt Hardy naming names, pretty good. Moving forward to the story. I like it. Let's keep it rocking.
They did not get broken. We were hoping that they would get broken after the pay-per-view.
Sure.
Last week.
But it's going to be a slow. I think they're going to draw this out a little bit.
I need hints.
You want to just like dive right
no,
in?
No,
huh?
No,
you're
no.
Ready.
I need hints. I need for them to like.
Sure.
Like, again, as soon as he got kicked in the head and he was lying there, I was just something that's like. Like, Matt, are you all right? Like, he's like, oh, sorry. Like, I'm fading out.
He's got it. But it takes a little bit more than that. It's like it really takes, you know, a dive off of a cage. That's really just the kick to the head. That's not enough.
Yeah.
By the way, though, in that match, apparently Sheamus was just kicking everyone in the damn head because he actually did knock Jeff's tooth out.
That's a
I
fact.
Guess so.
No, totally. All right.
You remember
go.
The whole thing where it was Big Show's KO punch versus Sheamus's brogue kick, and they had like that like punching bag game that you see in like bars.
Yeah.
They like brought it out and like measure the force. Which one has more force?
Oh my god. I mean, kayfabe, it would have to be the knockout punch, right? Like that.
Yeah,
that,
apparently, because
that puts everybody
out. Always knocks you out. Yeah, but I think Brogue Kick though, that's a pretty protected finisher, man. I can't remember somebody actually kicking out when he hits it full on. People have, like, rolled out of the ring and stuff, but
yeah. You want to know what? I hadn't really thought about it like that. Let's let's take a look at a big match being set up across the Pacific. It is Kenny Omega versus Okada. The first rematch from their Wrestle Kingdom 6-star classic at Dominion. I don't know enough about New Japan to say whether this is the best move or not as good as it could be. Do you have any feelings other than it's exciting that this is happening?
It's very exciting. I mean, look, this is going to be – they're really smart to do this because the buzz around that match after it being called, you know, a 6-star match and all that stuff and everybody kind of going and watching it, Omega being the hottest thing in wrestling for a little period there, it's cooled off just a touch just because it's still New Japan and it's still a lot of people who over here at least are not up to like on what's going on day to day, right? But – This is going to get a lot of buys, right? Because people are going to be – they want to watch it as it happens, right?
Yeah.
They want to kind of like be in the know. So it's definitely going to get a ton of buzz, and they're going to make some money because of this. I guess my only concern about it is what do you do after a 6-star match? When you have – like what's – do you go for the 7 stars?
7's
like,
your key number here. 7 little chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. That old children's
I think they're going to go a different direction, though. I think rather than like trying to top it necessarily, I think what they're going to do is go a little bit more like the next chapter in the story. Maybe this. I'm curious if they're actually going to put the belt on Omega. That would be kind of crazy.
That, I think, is really the most interesting wrinkle here is you've got to wonder how much of this is looking outward toward this summer's shows in Long Beach with the G1.
Sure.
Like if the champion of New Japan Wrestling is a white guy who can speak English that can do press for them, I think that might be something that they're very excited for. So who
knows?
Sure.
No, I mean, absolutely. The thing is they did though in the last match, they tease like the one winged angel, which is, you know,
that would
Kenny's,
be the big
finishing move, which again is a very protected finisher there. And they teased it over and over. That was kind of the storyline, was like, can he hit it? He just couldn't hit it. And then there was like a long period where Ken Okada hit the Rainmaker, right? Like this was just kind of back and forth on this whole thing. Apparently, like a really hard clothesline is worse for you than many of the other things that happened to those men, but that's fine. This is part of wrestling. So maybe the storyline here is different. Maybe somebody's selling an injury the whole time. Maybe there's something else going on here that allows Kenny, or maybe this time the Young Bucks actually get involved, right? Because last time they were there,
yeah,
they never actually did anything. I feel like they're moved towards more of a story based match rather than oh my god, insane spot after insane spot, and more of something else that's going to kind of push a feud that maybe then they can have a bunch of matches during this. This little tour here. So,
you know,
I don't know. That feels right to me, maybe, but we'll see.
Yeah, it also kind of feels like this is, whatever this is not the end of Kenny Omega and Okada, right?
No.
Like this is going to set up a bigger, an even bigger match with them either down the line, if not at Wrestle Kingdom.
I think they really should be, you know, this should be a fight forever situation, right? Like they should just have
match after match
during
great
like this
together.
Entire run here. So, and then like anytime they face anybody else, it's just an absolute stomping. Like there's nobody else. So you kind of build them as these are the only two guys who can beat each other, right? But I think for that to work, you got to let Kenny win at some point.
Yeah.
So I think he's got to take this one maybe, and then you just have him like keep going at it. And other people during the tour are like trying to challenge him, and it just doesn't work. Nobody else can touch him. So.
So let me shout this out here. So we watched the Payback show.
Yes.
On Twitch. And during that, I bought a bunch of wrestling shirts.
Okay.
And I try to buy the weirdest shit on like, the WWE.
From any specific, where you're on like just like WWE.com?
It was, yeah, it was like WWE was doing like, you know, buy two shirts, the third one's a dollar, one of them, right?
Oh, okay. Because like WCPW has a whole bunch of shirts that they keep pumping on their channel too.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like they're all kind of like a collection of the indie wrestlers who have come through their promotion, right? So it's a different story there. I always kind of wonder how that works, where the wrestlers themselves kind of own the rights to their shirts,
to
right?
Their own and then merch. So here's the one that I got. I got mine for myself here. This is the mug shot of, of one Vincent Kennedy McMahon from Raw a couple. I mean, I guess that was
nice.
A year ago, right? And we gave one away on the stream, but we do have one more left, and I want to give it away to a listener here to this show. This is the Teddy Long Holla 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 Famer shirt.
That's a busy shirt. There's a lot going on there. There's stuff on the back. You got Wow, they're billing him? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it has all of his stats, height, weight, hometown, career highlights, general manager of SmackDown and ECW. We want to give this away. It's a large shirt. So keep that in mind. But how do we want to give this away? What do you think the best way for us to give this away would be, Dales?
I mean, it makes sense to give it away on the Patreon, right? After the episode goes up, just, you know, comment on the Patreon. Tell us what you thought about any of the topics we've talked about today, something like that. And
we'll
just randomly select one of the people who participates in giving us a little feedback, something, you know?
There we go.
Or we could do a tweet. I mean, I'll let you know, whatever. Like, I want to hear back from people, though.
I love, you want to know what? We need to reward the people that made hashtag Dillstomania a success. It will go out to somebody that is on the Patreon, and I'm gonna give a little extra favor if you do comment on this episode when it goes up today. So keep an eye on that. You indeed could be the owner of the Holla 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 Famer shirt.
Holla 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 Famer. That's pretty sweet. So you put a couple things on here about wrestling shirts. So now I guess my question is, while you were purchasing all these shirts,
yeah,
were you just kind of like having a little bit of a revelation on what makes a good wrestling shirt? Was that
on? I just, in general, like, wrestling shirts are always so weird because, like, I bought a shirt at Hood Slam on Friday.
Yeah.
That I legitimately just bought because it's terrible.
Okay.
Like, it was bad. It's a bad shirt.
But there's a market for bad shirts. People enjoy wearing a terrible shirt because it's a conversation piece almost. Like, you're just walking around ready to have a conversation about your shirt.
Well, it was the first time that I bought a shirt knowing that it would be a gym shirt. Like,
okay.
Like, you know, like you would normally, if you're like active or something, and maybe it's not the gym, maybe it's, you know, what you mow the lawn in or something, right?
Sure.
Normally there's like a life cycle for a shirt, and then it kind of gets demoted to this B squad of, this is just a thing that's going to get sweated on.
Well,
right?
Or it gets promoted because it's become like a part of you, right? Like, I have a shirt that's almost 25 years old at this point that I got as like a youth who was just getting into music. And it was a place called the Hear Foundation. They make earplugs for musicians that are like really good because they don't cut out the low end and the high end at different frequencies. They like everything goes down exact same decibel level.
Yeah.
So it still sounds the way it's supposed to sound to you. And I got a shirt from them like the day they made my earplugs, and it is full of holes. And it is by far my favorite shirt. And I can't believe it still exists. Like, I can't believe that it's still...
That you still
have
it. I
can actually put it on.
Yes. So, when you're looking at a wrestling shirt, oftentimes it's more of an emotional purchase, right? Like,
sure,
either
it's
you're
tied to the wrestler more than, like, the actual design of it, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
You want... It's basically like a really, really, really low stakes tattoo.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I can decide I don't like this guy anymore if I change my mind.
I can take
this
shirt
like,
off.
I think that for me, I definitely look for like a guy that I'm into, right? So, you know, Kevin Owens was my, you know, first, like, when you asked, you were like, who, you know, when you went to, I can't remember what show, and you're like, which shirt do you want? I was like, well,
yeah.
Kevin Owens. And that's when I'm like, not even, I'm not the one actually there perusing the shirt, right? So I'm literally picking the shirt by the name.
Yeah.
But when I'm at a show, I really like the shirts that have, like, they look kind of like band shirts and not these, these kind of like, there's like, when there's so much going on, like five different colors,
yeah,
and all this stuff, like that's a shirt I'm like hesitant to actually commit to wearing, right?
Where are you at? Oh, by the way, Strike It Rich nails it in the chat. It is indeed lower stakes than a henna tattoo.
Yeah. Okay, but like, look, like the Bobby Roode glorious new shirt, right?
Sure.
It's just his name in like block lettering, a little kind of silhouette of him. Glorious. It looks like a band shirt, like a band t-shirt or something, yeah, like that, right? It's like really simple, not a lot going on. I think the stars are colored something, sure, but the everything else is like black and white.
Could,
right,
be, but a band.
That's a shirt, yeah, I look at it, and I go, I'll wear this whether I like Bobby Roode or not.
Exactly. So. It could, for all intents and purposes, be a Kings of Leon shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Good callback.
Where are you at on the parody shirts?
The parody shirts, like, give me an example.
So indie wrestlers now will, yeah, do 1.5 million different parody versions of, like, you know, memes both in and out of wrestling. Ryan does this a lot.
I'll give the KO Mania would be like a parody shirt, right?
KO Mania, yes, but even then, it's almost not parody because his actual character is,
yeah,
I'm
but
an egomaniac.
But it's literally like the WrestleMania 2,
yeah,
like logo with just the tape right over it. So I mean, it's kind of meme-y in a way.
But like, you know, for example, Broseph Joe Brody of Hood Slam,
sure,
who as AJ Kirsch was actually the ring announcer for the Cow Palace show, he has come out with all, like, if it can be broed, he has broed it, right? It's,
sure,
Bro Buffett, the NW Bro, like, you know, there's any and everything that has existed in and out of wrestling has had, you know, that thing. And initially it's like, oh, cool, I know and like that as well as this indie wrestler, I'll get it. But now, it to me, it's kind of had diminishing returns because now other people will come up as like a fan of Boba Fett and be like, yeah, man, I like Boba Fett too. And then I have to have this conversation of like, yeah, but like,
this isn't about Boba Fett.
Do you also like wrestling?
Sure. That, I mean, that's an interesting call. I mean, look, that might be worth it to have a few awkward conversations where then you have to explain to them, oh, this is actually a pro wrestler. And they're like, oh, you mean like John Cena? No, like this guy who wrestles in this little tiny place in Oakland. And then, yeah, they're like, wait, who? You know, so sure. But that can definitely be a thing. But like, that's fine. That's a funny shirt, man. I think funny shirts will never go out of fashion.
Yeah. What do you think? All right, busy wise.
If it can be like a broad joke too, like a joke that won't just be caught by wrestling fans,
yeah,
that's like a plus, right?
Well, that was like, you know, like the Bailey I'm a hugger shirt was,
sure,
like kind of a good, like, oh, okay, well, everybody can make
free hugs is like a thing.
Yeah, everybody can make a decision on whether or not they like to be hugged or not.
I think a joke shirt is good, like, but like I think I'll never purchase a John Cena shirt.
Oh, really?
Like just a bright blue respect, earn it.
Oh no, I
don't think I could ever wear that on my body.
I mean, you realize that now we are entering into we are about to enter in to the John Cena hipster years, right?
We're now
we're now that he's not on that much anymore. A, everyone's gonna love him, and B, it's going to be like, oh, Cena might have a 5-star match every time he steps in the ring, because he's not going to be there all that often.
Well, also, people are going to start pretending like they liked John Cena all through the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh, no. It's coming. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and go out on the limb and say, you, Willie Dills Gregory, will buy, unironically, a John Cena t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. I liked John Cena when he was in developmental.
Oh, you know. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was into him when he was the prototype. I thought he was great. He had tremendous mat vision.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's fine. Let the people have their moment, I guess. But yeah, you're right. It's gonna get funny.
Dude, hipster Cena era has dawned on us. This is on. Yeah.
Like, are they actually going to represent that with some of his merch, right? Like, we're going to get hustle, loyalty, respect, like, since established 1999 or something like that.
Exactly. Always fighting from underneath.
Yep. I'm all for it, man. New wrinkles in his character.
All right.
By the way, I stopped holding my breath for the heel turn. It's just not going to happen.
Oh, no.
The man's, like, he's in his 40s. He's a part-timer now.
Well, and also it's like, you know, I still think that they could do it, but he would have to spend more time there. I think that's the biggest problem.
He has to stick around and really, like, get that to work. You can't just show up every now and then for some big match, for some once-in-a-lifetime, and then just be like, I'm a heel now, you know.
one last thing here. We both have kind of come to the realization that NXT rules again. Like, officially, it is just... In such an amazing place now that all the call-ups have happened, unlike the last time that they really got talent rated, now things feel fresher than I think that they ever have. You have your champion, Bobby Roode. He will face either Hideo Itami or Roderick Strong in Chicago. They announced on this week's episode that Asuka, after interfering in the women's battle royale, which, by the way, included Candice LeRae, but they did.
Yeah,
they made no mention of her.
She just got kicked out. Like, she's just no longer part of that. I thought, though, that it was after, like, when Regal came up to Asuka and was, like, mad at her. I thought it was going to be all four of them, but apparently now it's just going to be Ruby Riott and Nikki Cross. But all right.
And not Ember Moon?
She's not listed here.
Really?
She had that nasty fall, though. I wonder if she's, like, got beat up a little bit. She's not listed on the wiki, so, which I think is weird.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
The end of the episode was our favorite thing in the world, which is an angry William Regal solving problems by making matches.
By making a match. Yeah, it was exactly
NXT
that.
Chicago. You
he's
will
this
face.
Time really, really angry at Asuka, which is, I think, the first time he's really been angry at her because she kind of went off the rails there. By the way, her reign has now crossed 400 days. She's a longer undefeated streak, I think, than
Goldberg.
So Goldberg has been surpassed.
So apparently Ember is hurt. So that will be a three-way match. Ruby Riott v. Nikki Cross v. Asuka. So
did you see the Ember Moon botched? She was trying to hit the ring post. She went straight through the ropes and, like, slammed into the floor.
Oh, geez. No, I didn't see that.
That was pretty bad. Like, basically, she was trying to get thrown into the ring post, right? And do, like, the hits the shoulder spot.
Yeah.
But just completely missed it. Just dove straight through everything. but yeah, now we've got, so Authors of Pain and DIY is happening again. This time a ladder match, though. Which gives, I think, DIY a pretty sweet shot, right? Because I'm trying to imagine a common, how do you pronounce the other guy's name? Rezar?
Akam and Rezar are their names, yeah.
I'm trying to imagine these guys climbing wrestling ladders, and they're barely holding their weight. So that'll be interesting. And then Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne is going to happen as well, so...
That will.
And of course, there's plenty of stuff that can happen in the undercard. Obviously, like, McIntyre is here. Ono could do something. There's lots of stuff going on. So, I mean, I think Ono will be doing something. There's some stuff that happened recently, which we won't. You should watch NXT.
Yeah,
read up on NXT.
Read the spoilers. How about we go ahead and take a look at this while we wait? This is Billy Kay and Peyton Royce leaving the ring together.
Oh, this is my favorite thing of all time.
At a local show. They can't break their hug, so they just roll together under the bottom rope.
Once they start hugging, they realize how much they love each other and can't let go.
And so they just...
You know, that makes sense. They're clearly their soulmates, and this is a bond that will never be broken.
Name a more iconic duo. I'll wait.
You know, if they ever talk about how they're going to have a festival of friendship, I'm just not going to watch.
Man, oh God, no! I don't think that the world could take it.
They could never split up. I'm sorry, it just can't happen.
You know, you gotta wonder when that Asuka, the big Asuka match will happen, though, because they've hidden her. They gave Ember Moon the big match at the last takeover in Orlando, but other than that, it's like, you know, who's going to be the one to take that belt off her? And now you really do have, I mean, four, if you count Peyton Royce and Billie Kay as one person, like legitimate sure. people that you could see winning, right? Either by hook or by crook.
I feel like they might protect Asuka going into whenever she decides to, or they decide to kind of bring her up. Where she doesn't lose in, like, clean in a singles match, right? Like, I feel like they're going to protect her just a little bit because they built her up so damn much, right? Yeah. But then she comes in and she's got to face, you know, like Charlotte. And suddenly you've got two pretty built-up women talent going at it and could see something pretty cool happening there. So I think that's likely what's going to happen.
Wait, but she's got to lose, though, in NXT, right?
Yeah. She'll lose, but what I'm saying is, like, they keep setting her up with these triple threats. I don't think she loses this time either, though. I think she wins this one.
No, I think it would make sense to have her lose in a one-on-one match. But, you know,
if you want to build somebody else new, yeah. But if you want to protect Asuka, then you have it be some sort of
funky thing. I mean, like, Nikki Cross is probably the one that you'd be like, oh, okay, well, I think that match would be fantastic. And I do think that it would be. But now they're both heels, right? As Asuka has continued to embrace her worst instincts. Ruby Riott is now good crazy to battle the bad crazy.
Sure. She's
of
the fun
Cross.
Kind of crazy.
Fun crazy. And then Ember Moon is Ember Moon. She's like
she's a
stud. So like she's gonna be heard from.
There was a post actually, which I found kind of funny on Squared Circle about the whole promo bit that they did where she was in like the empty arena after losing.
Oh, I think I remember this one. Go ahead.
And the guy was like, I'm supposed to believe that she's a werewolf. Like, what the hell is this?
This dude was so upset because he's I don't need like Lucha Underground style, like her running with a pack of wolves or anything. But like, sure. I just kind of felt a little betrayed that she was just a sad girl who had a bad day.
Yeah, like she just puts those things in her eyes? That's not what her eyes really look like? Like, oh no. And it's like the poor guy, man. You know, I feel like it's like he just got told that, you know, things about Christmas and Santa, and suddenly life was just suddenly not as colorful anymore the next day.
No. All right, let's go ahead and get into our most talked about and exciting moment on this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our Melodica Challenge. Let's go ahead and take a listen to last week's. You know, we told the maestro Trey Warren, you gotta start drinking more. Like, because these are starting to get too good. This is one of them. He assures us that they start to get a little wacky as we continue to go along.
Well, I'll say this, though. The Goldberg theme, it's not like it starts off with a flurry of staccato notes, right? So once you hit that first little bit, it becomes pretty obvious. But okay, so Chad's bringing up a good point. Is it Goldberg or is it Gilbert?
Gilbert, yeah. Gilbert. Gilbert. Well, you didn't need to be Doug Dillinger to knock on that door. Let's go ahead and take a listen to this week's Melodica Challenge. All right, well, Well, this one is sufficiently shitty, but I feel like a lot of people are going to get it anyway. Here we go.
It's too, yeah, but it's too, like, it's too unique, you know?
Well, here we go. Let's listen to it one more time.
I'd love to. So I feel like here's what happens. He starts off, Trey Warren starts off, and he's like, he's built up his energy. He's sat there and he's learned it. But the amount of effort it takes to do them is just so intense.
Yeah.
That he can only keep it up for a certain amount of time, right?
Yeah.
And about like 5 to 10 seconds in, he just loses all control of his motor functions and just like starts slamming random keys. That I can respect that. Right there. See, lost it. Yeah. He fainted right after that. It was just a mess. Yeah.
Oh, you can download the original clip as well as get the answer earlier than anybody if you follow our Patreon. That is patreon.com/1900wrestling. Willie Dills, what you got going on this week?
Just a lot of streaming of the Hearthstones and watching of the Warriors continue to kick everyone's butt. So just pretty much that. So check out the stream, twitch.tv/WillieDills. Also, patiently waiting for my favorite pay-per-view name that's ever happened. Great Balls of Fire.
We didn't get to that. Great Balls of Fire.
Quick honorable mention at the end of the show. Great Balls of Fire coming up.
I mean, hey, listen, it's only in Dallas.
Sure.
You could get out there to Great Balls of Fire.
It's a 3-hour drive. It's not very far. The beauty of living in Texas is that wrestling seems to always be passing on through, you know? Because, I mean, it's right in the middle. They got to keep going back and forth, you know? So
I don't know whether or not.
I'm going to look up Great Balls of Fire tickets.
Maybe the seven deities will bless a hashtag Dills to the Balls.
I think it's hilarious. A lot of people have been making note about it being a terrible name. Whatever. I can't wait for the promos.
Who gives a shit? I swear to everyone's like, oh my god, oh, the sanctity of wrestling, yes, pay-per-view exactly. Names. Like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, settle down. Sit down, Marks.
Well, listen,
I can't wait to hear the promo of like Paul Heyman being like, at Great Balls of Fire, Brock! I can't wait for this.
Especially because all the wrestling promotions that have all the cool cred name their shows insane names that have no connection to anything. Like,
yeah.
Progress did a show called Old Man Yells at Cloud, you know, which is a Simpsons reference that had no payoff. Hood Slam show on Friday was Wubba Lubba Dub Dub, which was literally just a Rick and Morty reference with. I guess there was technically a payoff because Broseph Joe Brody burped into the mic a couple times and there was a portal involved. But aside from that, like, there's really no connection. Whatever. They're pay-per-view wrestling names. Just be happy that they're not called WWE Show Taking Place on Date in City. Like, that's they have to be.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, the Reverend Buck says, I have a complaint because it's a July pay-per-view and Great American Bash is a better name. Sure. Yeah, I agree. But also, so's World War III, and so's Halloween Havoc. And
fair
so's
enough. So you can get ringside for
$300. Oh, really?
Although I'm looking at the $300 ones, these are the ones where clearly like you're gonna be your whole view is gonna be obstructed by cameramen. But I mean, look, okay, you know that's for a WWE show, you know. That's a
Tell
thing,
you
man.
What? Maybe the old Patreon fund. Maybe we tap into that a little bit. I don't know. We'll have to find out next week. My name is Justin Robert Young. You can follow me at Justin R. Young on every social media platform that you possibly can find. Also streaming right here, twitch.tv/Justin R. Young every single day of the week. Dills, I think a very fruitful week of wrestling? Anything that you're looking forward to on Raw tonight?
Raw is going to be a lot of fun. I'm just very excited to see what's happening with the Hardys right now. Just give me the Hardys. I'm going to be patiently waiting.
The second that Jeff came out, or that Matt and Jeff came out, I was just like, no, like have your head wrapped up in something or like an ice pack. Like,
this is now like a week removed from the, you know, this whole thing where they're on tour and we've seen both of them doing the delete. Now this tweet has come out. Something's happening tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight.
You think it's tonight? Tonight's the night.
I mean, tonight's bright like lights, the first like, real crowd. Big tease. We're going to get a big tease tonight of something. It's happened, dude. I'm telling you.
I mean, if you were going to get a hot reaction, the London crowd will give you that pop because these are recorded.
Hell yeah.
In fact, I'll tell you what. They're probably in the arena right now recording Raw from over there across the pond.
Now, unfortunately, I won't be able to watch live with the Discord people because there's a Warriors game at, I believe, 7:30 my time. So,
You can just take off at halftime. Those Warriors
Well, maybe. I mean, lately that's how it's been feeling, but yeah.
It's fine. It's whatever.
I need to find a place where I could get... This was very difficult in Austin, Texas, where I could get wrestling and the Warriors like on two TVs right next to each other. If I could make that happen tonight...
There's enough bars. I feel like there's enough... There are enough bars in Austin that you could maybe... You just need to slip an extra tenner to the bartender and you can figure that one out there.
I just got to make sure the first drink I gave a good tip, right?
And then be like, you know, basketball on one, wrestling on the other.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
That about wraps it up for this edition of the show. Again, patreon.com/1900wrestling. Thank you guys for supporting us. This is Justin and Dills hanging up.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.